Katie and the Rat King by W.N. Herbert, read by Janice McKee. Katie was the lassie that bide Instran Ra. She'd offer bonny blonde hair, all curly like, and she thought very highly herself. One Saturday, she's walking down the main street, past the pizza place in the tour, when she hears somebody calling out her name. So she turns to see what it was, and wheesh, she falls down a manhole, so she does. Now she wasn't hurt, but she was black affronted. I hope there was no boys watching me, she thought. Then she sees this ring of beady wee eyes all staring at her. They were rats. They were the biggest, meanest looking rats Katie had ever seen in her Nelly Puff. She was stiff legged. Come with us, said one of these rats in a sneery, high-pitched voice. And she found herself being hooked it and pushed through these tunnels in Eastern Ra. Meanwhile, the lassie that caught her and caused all this kerfuffle, whose name was Jenny, runs over to the manhole to see if Katie was all right. But she couldn't see her. She drops down herself. There are no theatres in Stranra, and gangs in search of her best mate. Meanwhile, the rats have squeezed Katie through this nasty wee hole into a nasty big hole. It was all dark and dripping and stewy and minging, and Katie nearly laughed out loud when one of these rats says, Behold, the throne room with the mighty and magnificent Rat King. But his voice echoed in sick an irksome way as if some other rat was saying it back, only mere sleeky. So she calls Canyon in the giggles and peers into the murk. Oh, I wish I'd eaten the carrots at dinner, she thought to herself. Then I might have been able to see this stupid Rat King. Soon her eyes get used to the gloaming, and she marks out this character sprawled in a kind of throwing. It looked like a stoughton big thimble with a slice of stale pan loaf for a cushion. There were all these matches stuck in the back of the breed for his laziness to lean against. This guy pulls one of these out the breed and scrapes it again the wall. There was a blast of light, like when you get when you take your 42 with a flash. And Katie couldn't see anything at all for a second. Then she feels her chin getting stroked by thin, cold fingers with wee raspy hairs in them, and her sick comes back. And here she's looking right into the face of the Rat King himself. He was lank-shanked, taller than the other rats. In fact, he was taller than Katie, so she had to look up to him, which didn't help. He had greasy, matted black fur, combed into quiffs and curls, like you do when you're trying to impersonate Elvis the Pelvis, and that didn't help either. His face was lying and baldy, apart from off a thin-looking whiskers, like black knitting needles. His eyes were small and arrogant, and perched in his head was a peery green croon that was fair bouffit. Katie realised it must have been carved out of mouldy old cheese. He had the longest tail Katie had ever seen. It curled and flickered about the shomron like a big black mamba. Katie smacked his horn away from her chin and he smiled, exposing twa colossal yellow teeth that looked like all piano keys. What a nice wee girl it is, he hissed half a quiet. The throne room echoed back his wee voice as though there was a wheen of rats all hissing at the same time. Will it do His Majesty a favour, the Rat King winners? Are you this Rat King Aubrey's talking about? Katie asked, as though she was pure mental with him, putting on a front to keep herself from screaming. This is His Majesty, the Rat King replies, very hoity-toity. And why do you talk as though you're somebody else? Katie said. The Rat King this, His Majesty that, she went on, taking the mickey out of his quiet, hissing voice. Whisht, the Rat King explained. His Majesty is far too... Here he paused, trying to think of the right word. Majestic, to say I or me. He is the Rat King, the richest and most regalious rat on our Austrian Ra. And he doesn't tack lip for little girls who canna get hame. How are you, Rich? Katie says sarcastically, though she wasna feeling half a brave now. She hadna liked what the Rat King said about no getting hame. Well, the citizens above pay His Majesty a special tax which swells his coffers. It's called the 5p tax, or the FPT in short. They're half a keen to pay up, you must say. The dosh just keeps rolling in. You mean the coins people drop down the drain? But that's loose property. You're stealing their money, Katie cried. Oh, listen to the wee looser greet. Well, little girl, the Rat King is the monarch of all the finders, and so he is the maist muckle of the keepers. Is it his fault if your coins are made that small that humans canna carry them? Do you no think it's interesting that 5p's are just the right size for rats' hungry horns? Just then there's a noise ahead, Katie, and the Rat King's blows the match out. Then Katie heard another lassie getting pushed through the narrow hole into the Rat King's throne room. Careful-like, the Rat King struck another match, and there to Katie's horror, blinking at the licht and looking a bit tearful, was her best mate, Jenny.
Katie, Jenny cried. I'm that sorry I called you so on. I came after to see if you were okay, but these grotty rats grabbed me.
Yuck, where's the dorser with the gowdy cheese in his head? Och, that's just the stupid old Rat King. He says he all the time, when he just means me. Whisht, hissed the Rat King, not at all pleased. His Majesty is not to be tittle-tattled about by little girls, for micht or micht no find themselves on the Rat King's menu. Chef! This humongous rat, with a leather belt on, squeezed painfully through the entrance to the chommer, grunting and farting and excusing himself as he came. He had a big butcher's knife stuck in his belt, which he pulled out and stared at Sheridan as thin as Maestian was in the room. Katie and Jenny got as far away from him as they could, practically clawing their way through the clammy walls.
Aye, what is it, Your Majesty?
Wheezes the chef, still puffing away after pushing himself through sick a wee gap. How does the Rat King like his little girls?
Stuffed with oatmeal, sire. Punged that through, their faces looked like twa wee piggies, then veiled in their party frocks. Thank you, chef. Have my coffers brought in?
Katie and Jenny were half relieved to see the chef put his knife away and force himself back out through the hole. The Rat King swaggered up and down while he waited for his coffers, wagging the match about and ignoring them completely.
Who are we going to get away?
Whispered Jenny. But afore Katie could answer, twa rats came in trottling black plastic bags that clinked and tinkled. They dumped them in the flare, so they spilled open. The lassies gasped. There was hundreds and thousands of 5p pieces. See, the Rat King said triumphantly. His Majesty is a rat of substance. New decisions. He peered at them short-sighted-like, and stroked his chin. The first little girl that came will go the Rat King's messages, he decided. The second one will stay here and get eaten if the messages are not got properly. Katie and Jenny were really scared now, but Katie forced herself to ask,
what's these messages you want me to go?
The Rat King requires some comfortable for a celebration he has got coming on. His most beautiful daughter is hitching up with the Rat Duke of Port Patrick, and His Majesty wants all the cheeses from Ra for the wedding feast.
All the cheeses from Ra,
the twa lassies cried together. The Rat King looked around him in mock surprise.
His Majesty really will have to do something about the echo in here. You could have sworn it sounded like twa whiny wee quines.
Suddenly, he caught Jenny up with one cold, thin horn and brandished the stub of a match at Katie. If the first little girl, Disney bring every bit of cheese in Stranra, the Rat King will ken, and then the main dish on my menu will be little girls stuffed with oatmeal. Well, Katie was greeting them. She couldn't help it. She picked up one of the sacks and started dragging it for the throne room.
I'll be back, she told Jenny. Don't you worry, I'll get all the cheese somehow.
Once she was outside the chamber, some rats helped her carry the sack to a manhole and lifted her up and pushed the sack out after her. Katie looked round, nearly blinded by the sunlight. She was down an empty street near the ferries. She couldn't lift the sack, so she dragged it out to some bins and left it aside them. Nobody will look in a bin bag for anything, she thought. Then she ran to the cop shop as fast as she could.
Hey, you policeman, come on, she yelled. The Rat King's going to eat my mate, and he stole all the 5p's.
Sergeant McWhirter peered over the counter. There was a brooket-faced lassie who had been greeting, hopping up and down. Her clothes were a disgrace. Sergeant McWhirter's head went out to her mother. Well, it didn't really. This is just the way he thinks. Little girls these days.
Your mammy will be furious with you. Look at the state of you, he exclaimed.
Well, you didn't understand, mister, says Katie. He's eating Jenny if I didn't get all the cheese and strong rat.
No, what's your name?
Sergeant McWhirter sounded half a stern, all of a sudden.
Katie, no, come on.
Now, Katie. I didn't have time for silly stories from little girls who fell in a dove. You're in a lying home to your mammy and see if she can clean you up.
Katie was too smart to keep going in the face of this level of stupidity, so she goes quietly out of the police station and sits down to think. Maybe the cheeseman at the sauce can help me get all the cheese, she decided, and set off for the supermarket. The man at the counter was weird-looking, small and skinny, with curly red eyebrows halfway down his pound. He wore a white coat and hat with the brim of the hat awful low down so it near met his eyebrows, and the sleeve of his coat rolled up so his bony wrists and lying clever fingers stuck out. He eyed a new cheese chapped up in wee cubes for folk to taste, and he never tilted the bairns off, even though they cried him Cheesy Joe. He just kept smiling, a lying cool smile. When Katie jumped the queue and started blathering on about rat kings and 5p pieces, he didn't tell her off or send her a wall. He just kept smiling coolly till she was done. Can you play the penny whistle? He asked.
Aye. My uncle that's in the band taught us. Why?
The cheeseman produced this wee whistle from beneath the counter. It was black and worn and looked like an old fountain pen. Can you play this tune? He asked, and put it to his mouth. Soon, the weirdest music Katie had ever heard came out of the whistle. She found she was bobbing her head from side to side without even thinking about it. All the wifeys in the queue were bobbing their heads and all, which was uncanny, because I mean at four they'd all been muttering about Katie shoving in front of them. They all had smiles on their faces, like the wee version with the one on the face of the cheeseman. Even Mayor Uncle was the feeling Katie had that she'd heard the tune somewhere afore.
But do I no ken that tune? She asked.
Ah, the bairns ken this tune, says the cheeseman.
Aye, right, Katie said, but no sure herself.
Then she heard it in her head, the hail of the tune all at once, and she shouted,
sure, I can play it.
Gang to where he first fell down the manhole and play the tune, the cheeseman said, and handed her the whistle.
What happens then? Katie asked.
But he was serving the next wifey and behaving like other grown-ups, treating her as though she wasn't even there.
Katie scooted down the main street of Stranra, dodging between the grannies and the hard lads and the tances till she got to the manhole. Then she put the whistle to her mouth and...
Katie, what in the name of God are you doing? Now get away from the manhole right now. I'm warning you.
It was Katie's mother, looking seriously bothered, a typical expression. Katie hovered, then minded what the music had done to the wifeys in the queue started to play. Instantly, her mother stopped looking angry and started smiling, which was not at all typical. bobbing her head from side to side. Not only her, but all body in the street, grannies and laddies and wains in their tansard, stopped where they were and all bobbed their heads in time to the tune. Not only are the folk in the street, but are the rats and all. They climbed up slowly for the manhole, bobbing their heads and gathering round Katie. Abody, her mother, the shoppers and the rats, a small version of the cheeseman smile on their faces. So that's why you say cheese when you're taking a potty, Katie thought. Finally, the rat king himself comes out of the manhole, together with the chef, who nearly couldn't go at all. The rat king's beady eyes were shut, and his bald snitch twitched as he moved about in a dwam. Then Katie Kent what she had to do next. Down the main street of Stranraer went on a Saturday afternoon. Katie and the rats with the Rat King at their ear smiling and twitching. All the folk watched them pass, smiling and bobbing their heads. And all the time, Katie played that dead familiar tune. Sergeant McWhirter didn't ken why he was doing it, but he was smiling and bobbing his head gently from side to side when into his police station marched Katie and the biggest collection of despicable low-life rats he had ever seen. He didn't ken why he was taking the key to the jail off it shook either, but off it came. Then off he went with Katie, smiling and bobbing his head to ensnake the cell and stand there like a numpty while all the rats marched in. "Don's a nasty-looking yaff with a gaudy cheese in his hood," Sergeant McWhirter thought to himself, aye bobbing his ain head and smiling. The Rat King bobbed his back and bare twa long yellow teeth. Then Sergeant McWhirter looked at the cell door and Katie stopped playing the pan-desperate dandemonium. All the rats hurled themselves at the bars and the sergeant shouted and yelled and rattled his keys and all Stranraer abody wondered exactly what they were doing, wherever they were and who they'd got there. Katie ran off to get the cheeseman. When the cheeseman came into the police station, all the rats went off a quiet and the Rat King pushed his cell to the front of the cell. "You," he explained, "I might have guessed you'd try and spy on my face." "I'm no teller of all about your feasting," the cheeseman replied, "except when it's Lassie's card, Katie and Jenny you're planning to eat. Let me go and you can have all the 5p's. Now what about your loyal subjects, Your Majesty? Oh, you can keep them for your cats to play with, but let me go." The other rats didn't like the sound of this and drew a wall for the Rat King. The cheeseman said to the fat rat chef, "Gie's your knife." And the chef handed him it through the bars. Then the cheeseman did something that made the rats whine, and Sergeant McWhirter sat down and say, "What the?" Even Katie had to blink twice, and she was getting pretty used to fairies. He walked up to the bars, turned side on, and just stepped through them, as though he was as thin as a straw. A cheese straw, that would be. Then he went up to the Rat King, and with the only palaver, chopped off his long black whiskers and his tail. The tail made Mary a fuss about this in the Rat King and lashed out at all the other rats for a minute afore lying quiet. The Rat King just stood there, hunched up, looking mere rat-sized, and Katie started feeling sorry for him. Then she minded it in Jenny. "What about my pal, Mr. Cheeseman?" "I'll show you where she is," says one rat. "I'll show you where the coffers are," says another. "And I'll be getting back to my counter," says the cheeseman. "I mean to say, it is a Saturday afternoon." Sergeant McWhirter led the cheeseman and the twa rats through to the cell. Katie looked at the Rat King. All the other rats were ignoring him, and he looked pure miserable. "Is he totally bad, Mr. Cheeseman?" she asked. "I didn't think anyone's totally bad," the cheeseman replied. "But some folks get that puffed up with their own importance that they forget why they really are. Then they can do anything for bad to just plain stupid," he said, glancing at the Rat King. Katie and Jenny were reunited in time for tea, which was cheese and toast at Jenny's house. His mother didn't use processed cheese, and so was shunned. Jenny's mother kept humming to herself and saying, "What is the name of the tune? Can't get it out of my head." Sergeant McWhirter was put in charge of the Rat Rehabilitation Centre, or the RRC, where rats were trained to recover 5 pence pieces for the good of the community. The Rat King's coffers got distributed among the all focused on Rabbi the Cheeseman, who still works ahind the counter at the Sosh, and still gets cried Cheesy Joe by all the bairns, except for Katie and Jenny. And though the Rat King's whiskers were soon lying in black like knitting needles, his tail never did grow back, and he never did get all the cheeses from Rat. These days, he takes tourists round the tunnels under the toon and guided tours by matchlight. And though he's usually dead on time, Sergeant McWhirter has received complaints from the landladies of the B&Bs of Stranraer that some of the tourists have never come back to pay their bills.